All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Scientists! They think they're so smart, just because they can explain everything. Well, even the smartest folks get stumped from time to time, or at least come across a problem where the answer isn't set in stone. From mysterious shipwrecks to eternal flames, these are some discoveries and phenomena from across the world that have left scientists scratching their heads. Generally speaking, the older something is, the less novel and surprising it is. Don't believe me? Try busting out the hamster dams at a party and see if you get any laughs. With that in mind, there aren't many man-made things on this earth older than the Great Pyramid of Giza. Don't get me wrong, it's great and all, but considering it's been around for close to 4,600 years, it can't have many more secrets or surprises in store for us, can it? A few years back, Egyptologists announced they had discovered what they called a deep void in the pyramid. This void consists of an empty space around 100 feet long and up to 230 feet above ground. Now, this is what most normal people might call a corridor, but hey, let Egyptologists have their cool name. The discovery is strange for two reasons. Firstly, as mentioned earlier, this pyramid is old, and we thought we'd explored every nook and cranny by now. Secondly, we don't know what the purpose of the deep void was. Even more strangely, the deep void was blocked by a large granite stone. So it wasn't just a deep void. It was a secret deep void, and we have no idea why it was kept a secret. Don't worry, I'm not gonna say the deep void has anything to do with aliens. They were probably too busy building Mount Rushmore at the time. At some point in your life, you've probably been blessed by the multicolored hues of gorgeous rainbows hanging in the sky. If you have great karma, you may have even witnessed the chromatic splendor of the rare double rainbow. On the other hand, if you've really ticked off someone upstairs, they might blight your skies with a blood rainbow. Regular rainbows occur when light shines through water droplets in the atmosphere, which, at the right angle, act as a prism. This scatters the light waves to create colorful arches. Red rainbows, however, are much more difficult to explain, and many sky watchers and meteorologists have gone their whole careers without ever observing one. The current explanation for the morbid rainbow is that they can only occur when the sun is low in the sky, around early sunrise or late sunset. This means that when the light refracts off water in the atmosphere, it ends up dyeing what would be a typical chirpy rainbow an ominous red. Neat. Maybe Lucky Charms could release a blood rainbow edition of the cereal that turns the milk crimson? If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound? Well, what about millions of trees suddenly exploding? Yeah, that would probably be pretty loud. And it's exactly what happened in the Siberian forest of Russia all the way back on June 30th, 1908. That morning, an estimated 80 million trees were completely flattened in these remote forests, with a rumbling noise that could be heard from miles away. One man who experienced the event was sat on his porch, only to be knocked off his chair with a red-hot feeling all over his body. And he was in Vannevara, 40 miles away. Even as far as the UK, the event was measurable on seismic detectors and registered as high as 5.2 on the Richter scale. Now, you might think that a literally groundbreaking mystery explosion would warrant immediate investigation, but the Russians didn't get around to it until 1927, 19 years later. It was Leonid Kulik of the St. Petersburg Museum who eventually trekked out into the freezing cold wilderness of Siberia. He discovered a mind-blowing 800 square miles of trees had been completely flattened away from a single point. Kulik theorized this must have been the blast's origin zone, with the most likely cause being meteoric impact. There was only one problem. The rock left no trace behind. It was almost like the trees just got tired and gave up on standing. The best explanation we currently have is that the blast was caused by a space rock that exploded before hitting the ground. It's estimated the rock was around 120 feet across and weighed 220 million pounds, which is four times the weight of the Statue of Liberty. And on that entry, it reached a temperature of around 44,500 degrees Fahrenheit. This heat, combined with the quick change in atmospheric pressure, caused it to detonate with the force of nearly 185 atomic bombs, which is about as loud as one of my dad's sneezes. Still, due to the nature of the event, this is just our best current explanation, with others believing it was caused by goblins or mole people. Well, what do you think? Was the Tunguska event caused by an exploding space rock or land mermaids? Toads are strange and beloved animals, known for leaping great heights, buffing themselves up, and suddenly and violently exploding. Wait, what? Am I the only one who doesn't remember the part of Wind in the Willows where Mr. Toad suddenly explodes into a million pieces? No? In the mid-2000s, residents of Hamburg, Germany bore witness to something grotesque. Toads spontaneously exploding, for seemingly no reason. In some cases, toad guts were expelled as far as a yard from the poor desecrated amphibians. Upon further investigation, upwards of 1,000 toad bodies were discovered in the area. Scientists tested the nearby pond's water quality, searched for any dangerous fungi, and even hypothesized the frogs had contracted a strange offshoot disease from horses at a nearby racetrack. Much like the poor toads, however, none of these theories held water. Upon closer examination, it was found that, strangely, the toads all had circular incisions on their back and were missing their livers. This led scientists to the conclusion that the explosions were the fault of crows, who really do continue to be the most dastardly birds on the planet. The clever crows figured out that the toad's skin was poisonous, but also that with a swift stab, they could pluck a toad's liver out with their beaks. This caused the toads severe internal damage, and when the toads would puff themselves up as part of their defense mechanism, their lungs would continue to stretch and inflate to the point of bursting. Well, that's a gross, horrifying mystery solved. Look after your livers, kids! Our next tale of the inexplicable takes us to the small German town of Strausberg in the year 1518. One summer morning, Frau Trofea stepped out of her home and spontaneously broke into dance. She boogied all day, and the next morning at the crack of dawn, burst into the streets and boogied once more, like only medieval Germans could do. Trofea danced until her feet were bloody and eventually attracted a crowd. Despite the lack of music, some kind of earworm was going around as other townsfolk began to join her. The dancers had no idea why they were dancing. Some were clearly in pain, whilst others claimed to feel possessed. Upwards of 400 people joined the impromptu rave, which is way livelier than my local club. What wasn't so lively was, well, the dancers themselves, as they began dropping like flies. This is because many of the townsfolk were old or just not cut out for hours of dancing in the summer sun. But what a way to go. Strasbourg physicians diagnosed the dancers with the awesomely named hot blood affliction. The cure they came up with was to hire musicians to liven things up, thinking folks would tire themselves out and go home. As you might imagine, adding more bass didn't help, and at this point, 15 people were dabbing themselves to death every day. Eventually, Strasbourg took the footloose approach and banned music altogether. But of course, this didn't stop the crazed dancers. What did eventually work was, for some reason, carting the dancers up a mountain in honor of St. Vitus. He was the guy you went to if you had a trembling-related illness. To this day, the most convincing explanation was that the townsfolk were suffering from a case of mass hysteria, which is a broad term that describes when large groups of people suffer simultaneous mental breakdowns. This is sort of understandable, seeing as the region was devastated by a famine in 1517, before leprosy and smallpox broke out in early 1518. Sheesh, I can sympathize. After all, I like to dance my troubles away too. Watching thunderstorms can be an amazing experience. There's something incredible about witnessing the majestic yet destructive power of nature dancing across a dark sky. Unless, of course, you live near the Catacombo River in Venezuela, where thunderstorms are less awe-inspiring and more gridlock levels of annoying. This is because near the mouth of the Catatumbo, Lightning storms can last for 10 hours at a time and can occur as many as 150 days out of the year. That means that this small area of Venezuela receives 1.2 million lightning strikes per year, which is more than the UK, Germany, and Sweden combined. I don't know what the people of Venezuela did to annoy Thor so much, but he's certainly letting them know how he feels. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, most lightning storms tend to last between 10 and 20 minutes, so a 10-hour light show is pretty baffling. The current theory is that there is no clear reason. The area simply has a perfect storm of lightning-generating conditions. Warm temperatures, high moisture in the air from the proximity to the sea, and mountainous terrain which cool air is forced over before hitting the warm, turbulent air rising from the river basin. These conditions prove perfect for thundercloud formations, which float 16,000 feet above the Catatumbo. And once they start thundering, they rarely stop. Man, I have trouble sleeping if there's a car stalled outside. Thank God I don't live next to the infinite thunderstorm. These days, sloths are known for their slow reflexes, tree-hugging, and lackadaisical attitudes. In other words, they're me in animal form. But what if I told you that sloths have actually mellowed out over the years? You see, sloths haven't always been the lazy lumberers we know them as today. In fact, 1,000 years ago, they were getting stuff done. According to Heinrich Frank, professor at the University of the Rio Grande, giant sloths were unbelievably tunneling through the earth at a power and speed that would put modern jackhammers to shame as recently as 10,000 years ago. Sometime in the 2000s, Frank discovered an enormous network of tunnels near the sleepy little Brazilian town of Novo Hamburgo, which, I'm sad to say, isn't Portuguese for new hamburger. These tunnels bore huge claw marks along the walls and were as tall as 6 feet in most areas, which is more than enough space for a human to stroll through. If that wasn't crazy enough, the largest of these tunnels is 2,000 feet long. That's nearly twice as long as the Eiffel Tower is tall. Frank and his team believe the tunnels are the work of multiple generations of giant sloth, who in total must have moved 4,400 tons of earth. That's the equivalent of 30 houses worth of dirt. While the exact species of sloth isn't known, it was possibly Darwin's ground sloth, a species that could grow up to 10 feet long. Other researchers believe the tunnels may even be the work of an extinct species of giant armadillo. To be honest, both these answers sound cool to me. I wonder which would have won in a fight, though.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Roughly 15 miles from sunny Rio de Janeiro sits Brazil's idyllic Guanabara Bay, where you can enjoy golden sands, tropical fish, and Floridians on vacation loudly complaining about the Wi-Fi. But underneath those azure waves lies a mysterious secret, one that might have been undisturbed for thousands of years. While enjoying a little deep-sea exploration, American archaeologist Robert Marks stumbled upon something strange. Or is it swumbled upon something strange? Either way, he found this perplexing mass of ceramics. Marks identified the pots as amphorae, which is nerd speak for tall jars. These jars were typically used aboard ships to store grain and wine on long voyages, but what makes the amphorae so baffling is the fact that they're from ancient Rome. If you're scratching your head right now because you don't remember learning about any Roman expeditions to the Americas, you're right. The first Europeans arrived in South America in 1492, and there's evidence that Vikings had a small settlement in North America some 500 years before that. These Roman pots, however, date back to the 3rd century BCE, meaning they're 1,300 years older than even the Viking settlement. This discovery had obvious, profound implications for our understanding of the continent's history and raised plenty of questions. How did they get there? Was a distant shipwreck swept towards the bay? Did the Romans ever step foot on South American soil? Not long after the incident, Brazil barred Marks from entering the country and placed a countrywide ban on underwater exploration. Now, while this is pretty compelling evidence Brazil is covering up mermaid evidence, others have theorized the country might simply be trying to preserve the myth that the land was discovered by the Portuguese. Actually, that's not such a crackpot theory. If I told you our next entry concerned something called the Eternal Flame, you'd probably think it was the subtitle of the new Avatar sequel. The Eternal Flame doesn't reside on Pandora, though, but our own terrestrial Chestnut Ridge National Park in New York. Situated along a short trail, the Eternal Flame Falls site marks a smoldering fire inside a small cave. Crystal clear water trickles over the mouth, the site looks pretty cozy, and the fire looks like it was lit by campers just a moment ago. In fact, the Eternal Flame has been burning inside that cave for potentially thousands of years. Though it's impossible to tell, it's theorized the flame was first lit by Native Americans several thousand years ago. It may be small, but considering I can't keep a match lit long enough to light a few candles on my birthday cake, it's still pretty impressive. The Eternal Flame isn't the only permanent fire on Earth, though. The most well-known and flashy is probably Turkmenistan's Darvaza Crater, colorfully nicknamed the Gates to Hell for obvious reason. The thing is, as imposing as Darvaza is, we at least understand it. The crater is simply above a large natural deposit of methane gas which caught fire and has been smoldering ever since. What's especially strange about the Eternal Flame, however, is that scientists still aren't certain of its cause. Previously, it was thought that the flame was kept alight by an underground deposit of ancient and extremely hot minerals. Researchers at the University of Indiana recently uncovered, however, that no such hot rock exists, meaning the flame continues to burn for an unknown reason. Also, despite its grandiose name and ability to stay burning even in the cold, the Eternal Flame is not quite eternal and has gone out several times before being relit. Don't get too judgmental, though. It's still hotter than you are. When I was a kid, I always thought you found whales in the country of Wales, which, now that I'm older, I understand is completely stupid. Instead, you need to head to the middle of the jungle in Thailand. Hin Samwan, also known as Three Whale Rock, is a collection of three enormous sandstone rocks situated in Thailand's Isan region. It's so named because they look like a family of magical ancient stone whales that swim through the leaves of the jungle. Oh, and when I say ancient, I mean ancient. Three Whale Rock is a staggering 75 million years old, meaning these rocky whales have existed on Earth longer than actual whales, which have been around just 50 million years. The rocks are reachable via an extensive network of trails through the jungle, and the view from the top is quite breathtaking. From the 980-foot-high precipice, visitors are able to see the Mekong Coast, the Phu Wua Forest, and the Pakading Mountains of Laos. Just be careful up there, as there aren't any guardrails. Though the area was seldom visited by tourists until the late 2010s, the region's Buddhist monks had known about the site for a long time, and some of their old huts still stand nearby. So how do three enormous sandstone rocks end up jutting out of the jungle? Well, that's still a bit of a mystery. Sandstone is formed when tiny grains of minerals like quartz and feldspar compact over millions of years. Now, Thailand has a potentially substantial amount of these minerals across the country, which does explain the whale's component materials. What isn't clear is what would have compacted those materials into such specific shapes while a jungle grew around them. Maybe they're just taking their time enjoying a particularly tasty buffet of stone krill. What's that old saying? Birds of a feather kamikaze together? Well, it certainly is in the village of Jatinga, Assam. For most of the year, Jatinga is a small, scenic, sleepy village of around just 1,200 residents. In August and September, however, the humble little town becomes a bloody birdbath. During those 2 months, locals in Jatinga hang lanterns from poles, which the birds are drawn to like moths to a flame. The birds will groggily flutter down towards the lanterns. Some injure or even remove themselves from the gene pool on the way down, while others are plucked from the air by locals. This phenomenon only occurs for a limited time in Jatinga and is especially strange as it doesn't just affect particularly stupid birds of a single species, but a wide variety. It was originally thought the birds might be migratory and thus more easily confused by unknown surroundings, but further investigation revealed that most of the birds behaving this way are local and familiar with the region. The only clue scientists currently have is that most of the birds affected are diurnal, meaning they're usually active during the day, but for some reason are compelled to fly around and get in accidents like a bunch of drunk drivers for a few months in Jatinga. According to one source, during these 2 months of bird accidents, the locals eat well. Yuck. This story bears a sordid resemblance to that of the Overton Bridge in Scotland, which dogs just can't help but throw themselves off of. Since the 1950s, over 600 confused pooches have leapt from the bridge, some to their unfortunate demise. The leading theory here is that the trees and foliage nearby the bridge conceal how steep the drop actually is. Additionally, some suggest the smell of small animals like mink nearby the bridge might entice and excite the dogs into haphazardly jumping over the side. But this is all just guesswork, as one local hunter has gone on record stating there aren't actually any mink in the area. Man, I feel bad for these Scottish dogs and Jatinga birds. Maybe we should consider opening an animal mental health hotline? You know, for the dogs that just aren't told they're a good boy enough. Birds falling out of the sky is creepy, but it at least makes sense on some level. Well, what if I told you that fish can also fall from the sky? Not only that, it's probably a whole lot more common than you think. There are dozens of stories of individuals like Lisa Lowbury, who was hit in the head by a falling catfish in 2016, and a Florida family whose pool was invaded by a falling fish in 2017. Now, I may not be a biologist, but even I remember that fish swim in water, not fly in the sky. Well, after some bickering, a few consensuses on these events have been reached regarding these fishy freefalls. In many lone instances, the pedestrians being pelted by fish from above, they live in areas with large birds of prey. Thus, it can be assumed that a bird caught a fish only to come down with a case of butter talons mid-flight, dropping it on the unsuspecting victim below. In some cases, scientists even theorize these fish may have been regurgitated mid-flight. Gross. As if being hit by a free-falling non-digested fish wasn't bad enough. While this may explain singular fish hits, in instances where dozens of fish reportedly fall from the sky, this explanation just doesn't cut it. What's more likely in these cases is that violent winds, waterspouts, and updrafts sweep the poor animals into the air, where they likely spend a few panic and confused seconds before plummeting down to the earth below. And you thought storms were inconvenient for us because they slow down traffic. Imagine if they could fling you into another biome. Well, there you have it, some powerfully perplexing discoveries that left scientists baffled. For a while, at least. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.